Praise God. Amen, amen. Good morning, church. Excuse me, if I do a little coughing or a little clearing my throat, there's such a thing as called allergies. Anybody identify? But anyway, so about a little bit of that. So I have a little clearing of the throat sometimes, and sometimes a little cough that goes along with it. But hope you can bear with me through that this morning. But it's so good to be here today, and thank you for the privilege of standing in this, what I believe, one of the greatest pulpits anywhere, and that is Ken Parrish's pulpit. And I so appreciate the honor of being here today. And I'm so surprised that my son and his beautiful bride and two of my grandchildren showed up here this morning. I might have fell over when they walked in. I didn't know they were going to be here. And always great to have them. I do have three grandchildren, but one of them is my favorite granddaughter. And she's here, because I only have one. So she's my favorite granddaughter. Aspen's my favorite granddaughter. I call her that all the time, but I'm always honored to have them with us when we possibly can. But thank you once again for allowing me to be here today and to share with you and deliver to you what I believe God's laid on my heart, because I believe that you, as a church family and the parish family, have experienced a miracle this week. I believe that with all of my heart. And when Becky contacted me the first part of the week and shared with me what was happening and what was going on, like most of you, I think probably fear began to set in of what could happen, what it would be like. But by the grace of God, we've seen a lot of things turn around this week. I have I've wanted to come and see Ken, but I know he's been in intensive care, and I did not even attempt to do so because of all the situations in doing that. But to see and hear the reports and to know that he's possibly coming home today is a miracle. I don't think you heard me there. I said it is a miracle. Amen? And I believe that with all of my heart. So I'm so glad to be here. And as Jim has just shared with you, Ken and Becky are very dear friends of Linda's and I. We enjoyed so much their company and being together and considered him my closest friends. And praise God. I just so thankful to be able to be here this morning to share with you in regard to this. And let me just give you a little bit of a background, because in 2006 and 2007 was a very low point in my life. A lot of things have happened. Sometimes when you're in ministry on the front lines especially, there's a lot of things that happen to bring hurt and heartache to you. Maybe no one else knows about, but being in leadership, those things begin to affect your life. And during that time, some things had transpired that I felt like I've had enough. I'd been in ministry for many years and had had a lot of these things to happen over the years. So I just made the decision, I'm backing off. I'm walking away from ministry, and I did. I walked away. I didn't care to even get back in the pulpit. I said I was not going to pastor again. And so I just moved away from it all. And that was after several years of being in ministry. But just out of the blue, a couple by the name of Ken and Becky Parrish just asked me to come to service and just loving on me. They didn't offer any counseling. They wasn't preaching to me. They weren't trying to drive me. They just loved on me. And he asked me to come and minister, and I did. I came and ministered back in 07 at that time. And when I did, it seemed the ember that had grown so dim in my heart began to reignite, and the flame began to come back. And from that point on, I began to return to ministry and step back into the pulpit and begin to pastor once again. And I tell Pastor Ken that all the time. If it had not have been for he and Becky, I don't know that I would have come back to ministry at all. And I praise God for them, and I thank God for them that they were able to do that, and God used them to do that to bring me back to that place. But I believe with all of my heart, as I've just said to you, that Pastor Ken has had a miracle this week. I say Ken, but that's all of the parish family and even the church family here. You've experienced a miracle this week in what has taken place. And I want to share with you today some differences between living a life of miracles and living in the blessings of God. And there is a difference between that, as I'll share with you in just a few moments. But if there were two doors placed before us today, and one of those doors would be marked miracles, and the other door would be marked blessings, probably most Christians today would choose the door that said miracles, because we like miracles. We like to see miracles happen. We pray for miracles, and we like to see them come forth whenever it does. But actually, if we chose that particular door, today, as Christians, we actually would be choosing the wrong door, because the door God wants us to choose is blessings. And I'm going to tell you why here, if you'll just stay with me for a few moments. You see, I assume that most of us think that miracles are the pinnacle of the Christian walk, our Christian relationship. We like to think that we walk in miracles, that we have miracles happening all the time. I don't know about you, and maybe I'm not as spiritual as you are, but I don't have a miracle every day. Hello? I really don't. I have some that happen sometimes and once in a while, but it doesn't happen every day. We talk about great men of God and miracles that happen. You know, Elijah, we have 16 miracles recorded in the ministry of Elijah. And it says that Elisha received a double portion. So I think that Elisha had 32 miracles in his life, but we have this idea that these men of God walked the earth and a miracle happened every day. I'm sorry, it didn't happen that way. Miracles don't happen every day. There's special occasions when miracles do happen whenever they come. We've heard the stories though about a supernatural protection, have we not? People have had supernatural protection in their life, supernatural provision. God has provided for them, done great things. I've heard of Christians, and I've experienced it in my own life, where unexpected finances show up that you needed so desperately. Ever had that to happen? God seemed to send it your way sometimes. I've even heard stories where people were driving, Christians were driving, and their car ran out of gas, but the car kept running. At today's gas prices, I'd like to have a few of those. But that's a good thing, don't you think so? The car just kept right on running, see? But see, most of the miracles that you and I experience really happen early on in our relationship with the Lord. Now, hang with me here for just a moment. Let me explain all this to you. Most of the miracles that we experienced happened after we were first saved. And we didn't see as many miracles happening as we grew in the Lord, as we walked with the Lord. And it seemed like miracles began to be farther apart than they used to be. When we were first saved, it seemed like God just did all these marvelous things. We didn't experience them later on. So we begin to question ourselves, what's happened? I know Linda, a lot of times when she would say, when she was living, she would say this to me, why aren't we seeing what we saw when we were first saved? We saw a lot of miracles happen in our life. We saw groceries show up on our doorstep that when we needed groceries and didn't have the money to buy it, but they showed up there and we don't know who brought them. But we opened the door and there sat the groceries. We received monies in the mail. We had miracles happen. Matter of fact, my son, who is seated here right now as a little boy, fell off of a bar stool in our home. Had a bar stool there, and he fell off, and the bone protruded through his arm. And my wife laid hands on him and prayed for him, and it healed instantly. That's a miracle. Let me say, everybody say miracle. Miracle. Say miracle. Miracle. Say it out loud. Miracle. Miracles. Praise God. So we experienced many of those things, but we found that as we walked with the Lord over a period of time, we didn't see as many of those miracles as we used to. And so we begin to question, why aren't we seeing these? Is something wrong with our life? Is there something spiritually happened with us that we're not seeing all of these things over and over and over again? Now listen, we saw a lot of those things when we first got saved that we don't see happening now. And there's a reason, and I'll explain that if you'll stay with me. There's a reason that we don't. But listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to return to the early days when I was first saved. I've learned a few things over the years. I make this expression to a lot of people a lot of times. I would like to return to my youth if I can know what I know now. Right? I've acquired a lot of knowledge over the years, and I've grown in the things of the Lord, so I don't want to go back to those early days when we were first saved, but I do like the miracles. I like them whenever they come forth, whenever that happens. But listen, the Bible records one of the longest running miracles ever known to mankind, and that is with the children of Israel. That was a miracle that lasted 40 years. Nowhere else in scriptures do we have a miracle lasting that long. When they came out of Egypt and into the wilderness, they came out of the place that they were familiar with into a place that they knew nothing about, into the wilderness and had to depend on God for every single thing that they had. Everything. They had nothing. There wasn't even a Walmart to go to. There wasn't anywhere to buy anything, right? They was out in the wilderness and they had absolutely nothing. And they had to depend on God to provide for them over and over and over and over again. But you know, every morning they stepped outside their tent and there was angel food called manna. In the evening, all the quail would come in and there was meat for them. God provided a cloud to keep them cool in the daytime and it turned to a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm. And God was able to protect them from all of the enemies that were out in the desert that would want to destroy them. But miracle after miracle after miracle happened with the children of Israel, and it lasted for 40 years. Here's the one that I really like, and I throw this in every chance I get, was that they walked in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Bible says their shoes grew with them. Would you like to have a pair of shoes that you would never outgrow for 40 years? Some of you probably wouldn't if you like to buy shoes, but anyway, shoes that would stay with you over and over. See, that's a miracle. And God did this for the children of Israel over and over and over. So had the children of Israel reached their peak of spirituality to cause God to do this for them over and over and over again? The answer to that question is no, they had not. They had not reached any kind of a peak. Now listen, it was not God's plan that these people live in the wilderness for 40 years. That was not the original plan of God. It was God's plan that they come out of Egypt and follow His direction and arrive at the land that He had promised to them in a much shorter period of time. Now, I've heard different stories and people tell different illustrations from the Bible to indicate how long it was that they were supposed to be there. But it was anywhere from 2 weeks to 1 year that they were supposed to arrive at their destination. But they were out in the desert for 40 years. Actually, they were out there till all of the generation that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness, and only those that were born in the wilderness got to go into the promised land. So for 40 years, they had this particular miracle going on in their life over and over and over again. Now, at the end of 1 year, they were at the border, ready to step over into the promised land that God said was theirs. They were standing on the edge of it, but because 10 spies came back with a negative report, fear gripped their heart, and they turned from that and did not go into what God had promised them. So they wandered around another 39 years before they ever reached the place of coming into the promised land. Now, had the children of Israel gone into the promised land, here's something you need to know. Had they entered into the place that God wanted them to be, they would not needed any more miracles. Why? Because the promised land had all the provision they had need of. It was waiting for them there. There would have been plenty of food. There would have been plenty of water. All of their livestock would have been taken care of. Every provision was waiting for them in the promised land, and they would not have had to have all the miracles to come in order for them to sustain life. And that was the promised land God said was going to be theirs. That was theirs for the taking. All they had to do go in. And God was calling this place blessings. The promised land is a place of blessings. Where God wants us to live is in a place of blessings. God wants us to live in the promised land that He said He was giving to us, and that is a place of blessings. So that you and I don't have to depend on a miracle every day just to get by. Are you listening to me, church? Now, stay with me here. Miracles. Miracles have a start time, and miracles have an end time. But a blessing does not have an end time. Did you know that? Blessings are something that are continuously going on in our life on a regular basis. But a miracle has to have a start date and an end date. It happened now, but it's not happened now. You follow me? Now, miracles have a start time and an end time. Blessings are ongoing, and there's no stop time. God's best was for Israel to be in His blessings and not have to live by miracles over and over again. Thank God for miracles when we need them, and they'll come. But if you're living your life every single day looking for a miracle to come to your life, you're living a miserable life, and I can tell you that because I've lived that life, and I know what that's like. Amen? Some of you are looking at me awful strange. Okay. So let's look at the difference between miracles and blessings. Now, make a mental note or write this down or do something so that you can take this home with you. I want you to catch this. This is good. Miracles are God's jump start into the life of blessings. It's the jump start. When you were first saved, God brought those miracles into your life to get you started in the direction to where you can move into the promised land and live a life of blessings. So that you don't have to have that miracle every single day. Now, it's wonderful when they happen, but when we don't have to depend on a miracle every day in our life, we can live a life of greater ease than having to depend on that miracle to come. Because that miracle may not show up in the time frame you and I think it ought to show up. As a matter of fact, I have prayed for some miracles sometimes that I'm still waiting on. Yeah. Haven't you? Yeah. Now, miracles come in a time of crisis, but blessings can keep the crisis from coming. Did you catch that? Miracles come at a time of crisis in our life. But if we learn to live the way God wants us to live, it'll keep those crises from coming our way. Now, miracles come in small amounts, but blessings come in abundance. Miracles are just enough for you and your family, but blessings are enough for you and others around you. God wants to prosper you, not just so you can say what I've got, but so you can be a blessing to other people. So you can help someone else. So you can give to your church. So you can give to your community. God doesn't want you just to have those things to hoard them up for yourself. He wants you to be able to give to other people. Now, catch this one. Miracles can come when you are in unbelief, but blessings require, now listen, blessings require responsibility and obedience from us. The children of Israel were out of, they were out of the will of God in the way they were living, but God still brought miracles to their life. And a lot of times God will bring miracles to our lives when we're not living like we should live. But if I'm going to live in a life, if I'm going to live in a life of blessings, I'm going to have to learn to be obedient to what He is saying to me. Be responsible for that. Got real quiet in here on that one. In a miracle, God works for us. In blessings, God works with us. By definition, a miracle is a divine intervention into the laws of nature. God works, listen, against the laws of nature, but with blessings, God works with the laws of nature. So that we can have that on a regular, everyday basis. Now, here's a good one. Miracles are temporary, just for the moment. But blessings are eternal. Right? A miracle is what I need right now. But a blessing is something I can live with the rest of my life. It's going to be a part of my life from now on. Wow. Understand that only, you know, that God parted the Red Sea only one time. Right? He only parted the Red Sea one time. The children of Israel only crossed over the Jordan miraculously one time. Now stay with me here. Fire was called down out of heaven in Elijah's ministry only one time. Not over and over and over again. Jesus turned the water into wine only one time. Say it with me. One time. He performed the miracle of the loaves of the fishes only twice in Scripture do we see that. That He performed that particular miracle. The people did not receive loaves and fishes multiplied every day, but they did learn to eat of the fruit of their hands, of the fruit of their labor. That's called blessings. Over a period of time, they learned that they could do things and God would bless it and they'd enjoy the benefits of having this. So as we grow and mature, God wants to bless the works of our hands. God wants us to reach the place that what we're putting our hand to begins to prosper, begins to be blessed, so that we live with that. And we're not standing on the sideline waiting for God to show up to bring something out of the ordinary for us. Now, He can do that, and He does that from time to time when it's needed. And thank God for that. But you don't want to live a life like that every single day. You don't want to have to believe like that every single day. When we need a miracle, our mind is constantly occupied with the need of the fact that we need a miracle. If you've ever needed a miracle, that's all you think about. You think about the situation, you think about the crisis, you think about the problem that's consuming you over a period of time. And all you can think about is that miracle that you need and that miracle that you've got to have. And so we're totally consumed with whatever's taking place in our life in order to have that. The crisis consumes our time and it consumes our thought. I know because I've been there. I understand what that's like. And probably most of you in the sound of my voice have experienced that sometime in your life, that there's something that you need so desperately that it just consumes every part of you. And that's all you think about. You go to bed at night and you're thinking about it. You wake up in the morning and you're thinking about it. And all through the day it's on your heart. And you're looking for that miracle that's going to come. It's consuming you over and over and over again. Now, we can be thankful that God has not lost the recipe for manna. And when we need a miracle, God can still come through. And God does come through. You've experienced it this week, church. In this church, you've experienced a miracle this week. God showed up and performed a miracle with your pastor. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We should be shouting victoriously for that. That God has done it. He's not lost the recipe for manna. He can do it again if he needs to do it and has to do it. God still works miracles. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. Praise God. But listen, that's not God's best for our life on a regular, daily, everyday basis. God doesn't want you to leave here today and live the rest of this day and the rest of this week waiting for some kind of a miracle to show up. God wants you to learn to live in a land of blessing so that you walk out of here today and your life is blessed this afternoon. You're going to be blessed tomorrow. You're going to be blessed next week. Every day is going to be a blessed time for you. That's what God wants for His children. That's what He calls our promised land. God's desire is that we not be consumed with the crisis or the fact that we need a miracle, but God wants us to be consumed with Him. Get your mind focused on Him. We sang about it this morning. Did you realize that? We talked about that and sing about that. It was coming from across our lips this morning about being in Him and the glory filling the earth and all of that being in Him. Listen, God's desire is that we be consumed with Him and not be consumed with our needs. We read from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Amen? Casting all your care. Let me read it to you from the complete Jewish Bible. It says, throw all your anxieties up on Him because He cares for you. Throw all your anxieties on Him. I don't know about you, but I can get pretty anxious sometimes. Sometimes I can let a few things build up in my life and it bothers me. How about you? Now, I probably nobody here is like that. I may be the only one in the room. But things bother me sometimes. I get it. You know, listen, I've got a situation in my life right now that I've been dealing with now for 5 months. And in that 5 months, I find myself, it consumes me sometimes. I just keep crying out to God, God, do something here. God, do something here. God, do something here. You ever been like that? Waiting on God to do something. But if I'm not careful, that will build up in me, that anxiety builds up in me, and I begin to carry the weight of that, and there's not a thing I can do about it. If there was something I could do about it, I'd go do it. Wouldn't you? If there's something you could do in your situation, you'd go do it. Would you not? But the reason we're letting that build us up in us is because we really can't do anything. It's totally up to God. So the Bible says, cast all that anxiety, all that care onto Him because He cares for you. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Praise God. So if we're constantly thinking about our needs, if we're always thinking about, you know, where are we going to get food? Where are we going to get the money for this? How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to make the car payment? How is all these things going to come about? If we're always consumed with all of these things, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do all this? What difference is that between us as Christians and the person that doesn't know the Lord? None. We're just like the world. We're just like the lost person. We're just like the unsaved. if you and I are dealing and living like that, because that's the way the world lives. They don't have the hope that you and I have. Right? We have hope, knowing that God's going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's coming through. Say that with me. God's coming through. Say it out loud. Say it like you know your neighbor here. Say it again. God's coming through. Amen. Praise God. God's coming through. Now, here's what Jesus told his followers. Now, before I read this, let me ask you this. Can we really trust the words of Jesus? Well, 10 of you think so. Can we really trust the words of Jesus? Amen. And here's what Jesus said to his followers. Here's what he spoke to them, and I believe it applies to us, because I don't know about you, but I think I want to be called a follower of Jesus. I want to be a disciple. How about you? Amen? Here's what he said in Matthew 6. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, are all these things the unbelievers seek for, the people who do not know the Lord, these are what they seek for. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knew you needed these things before you ever ask. Right? Do we believe the words of Jesus? Come on, stay with me here. Praise God. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek what first? Him and his righteousness, right? Don't seek your need first, but seek him first. It's very interesting, I think, that when people find themselves in crisis, they say, well, all we can do now is pray. Should we have done that to begin with? Instead of putting it on the tail end of what the problem is, let's put it at the beginning and see if we can't head off a whole lot of these things. Let me read on here, if I may please. But seek the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. Don't worry about Monday. Right? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God says, I will take care of the day for you. I will provide for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will take care of themselves. Now listen, I want you to hear this. Jesus was saying, don't live your life from crisis to crisis, from miracle to miracle. Now thank God when you need one, you can get one. But don't make your life a life to where you have to depend on a miracle every day just to get through. That you don't have to have a miracle before you can go to bed at night or wake up the next morning. You don't have to have that miracle every day. Moved into the promised land. Our promised land is a land of blessings. That's what our promised land is. A lot of people think promised land is going to be heaven. No, the promised land is not going to be heaven. Listen, when they came into the promised land, there were giants there that had to be defeated. He said, if you'll come in, I will help you defeat the giants when you come in. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for any giants to be defeated when I get to heaven. There's none there. So the promised land is not heaven. It's not heaven. The promised land is living a life of blessings so that we don't have to live from miracle to miracle to miracle. That's our promised land. And so God wants us to move into that place. Now, if something unexpected arises and a miracle is needed, you know God can do it. You've experienced that here in this church this week with your pastor. Totally unexpected. Totally unplanned. There wasn't any way to avoid that. It happened. So now you need a miracle, and guess what? God's come through with a miracle. Isn't that good? God's come through with a miracle. So God does know how to do miracles, and he will do miracles in our life whenever we need a miracle. But what he doesn't want is for you to be consumed with a miracle life to where you have to have a miracle every day just to survive. You can't rest. You can't be at peace whenever you do that. It was totally unexpected what happened to Pastor Kent. Totally unplanned what happened to Pastor Kent. Nobody knew this was going to take place, what was going to happen. It was unavoidable. But still, God came through with a miracle. Amen goes right there. God came through with a miracle. God came through with a miracle. God's moving. Hallelujah. God came through with a miracle. Absolutely. Praise God. But in our daily, everyday life, that should be the exception and not the rule. If you need a miracle today, I believe God can meet that. I believe God can do that. But what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today, I believe with all of my heart, is let's don't make our lives a life of depending on a miracle, or we're not going to make it. Again, if you need a miracle, He can do it. But I want my life to be resting in Him, knowing that God's going to supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's coming through for me. God's coming through for me. God's going to bring an answer to this. I'm resting in Him. I'm trusting in Him. And whatever it takes, God's going to take care of it. I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm believing God. I'm going to do what I know to do. And the rest of it's up to God. God can do what you and I cannot do. Amen? He can do it. God wants us to mature. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to reach the place to where we're not living like we did a few years ago, or like we did when we first got saved. He wants us to live in His daily provision. I go back to my early years when Linda and I were first born again. And listen, when Linda and I got saved, we were so poor we couldn't pay attention. I mean, it was bad. We didn't have anything. We really didn't. We didn't have food to eat. My kids were small. My Chad's here today, but the night we got saved, he was a little guy in his mother's arms. And I walked down the aisle that night, a Friday night, in that service, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And when I got to the front, the evangelist wasn't satisfied with that. He turned around and looked at Linda sitting back there holding Chad in her arms. And he said, "Somebody get that baby out of her arms and she get down here now." Demanded that she got saved. And thank God he did. But back in those days, things we had nothing. But God's blessed us over the years. I don't want to go back to those times. I don't want to go back to those years. God does not want you to remain in the place that you are. God wants us to grow and mature in the things of Him. So that next week is better than this week. Next year is better than this year. You're growing in the things of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Growing in the things of the Lord. Learn to move into the promised land. The promised land God said was yours. So that you don't have to have a miracle to live through the day. But once again, if a crisis arises and you need a miracle, God can still make manna. God can still do it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Would you stand together this morning, please? Praise God. I don't know what time you normally finish up. Am I okay? Am I okay? Praise God. I said that one time and somebody turned to me and said, "Turn the lights off when you leave." Everybody else is going home. But anyway, But before I walk out of here today, or before I turn it back to Jim this morning, I want to ask this question to you this morning. Are you here today and you need prayer? I believe a church ought to be a place that you can come to and receive prayer when you need it. And if you're here today and you've got a crisis in your life, you've got something in your life that you'd like to just pray about, I'd like to give you that opportunity just to come forward right now and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me this morning. Pray for me in this situation." Give you that. I know I'm not your pastor here. Pastor Ken is. But I'll pray for you this morning. And I know he'll be back in this pulpit just as soon as he can get here. He's probably running down the street now. He's on his way here. But anyway, he'll be here just as soon as he possibly can. No doubt about it. And we're so thankful for that. But if you need prayer this morning, I want to pray for you. Anywhere in the room, clear today. If you need prayer this morning, we want to pray for you today. Praise God. Father, we thank you today and we praise you today for your word. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your peace. Father, we are rejoicing today over the good news with Pastor Ken and Becky. Father, we thank you, Father, that he will be back in this pulpit really soon, Father, full-fledged doing what you've called him to do and be. And we give you praise for that. Bless these folks today. Bless this church, this family. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jim?
I'm trying to cut you off.
No.